three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Steph.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast, recording this one Tuesday, 8th of March at about 11 o'clock on the East Coast. Thank you very much for joining me. My name is Joseph, and there will be no Andrew. My usual co-host, Andrew Canyon, can't make it. He's been busy all week. He only watched the game or two of this round, and we decided, you know what, let's just do something different. But Andrew will return next week. That's a promise. Top of the program, Patreon. If you really enjoy the show, do consider becoming a patron member. I'm going to give a big shout out to all our patrons in a second. And then I guess the next thing you can do, if you don't want to go that far, don't want to dig in that deep into things, do consider rating and reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Both platforms give you the ability to do that. Would appreciate it. I normally post them up on Facebook or Twitter somewhere if you say a kind word, or even if you say an unkind word, they're funny too. So appreciate that. What are we going to do on this week's episode? Well, we're looking back at round 14. We're looking forward to round 15. It was a really peculiar round, a bunch of different things. I'm actually coming off recording this having just watched NBL Overtime. I like NBL Overtime. I actually normally try and avoid the show entirely, or I wait until after we've recorded, Andrew and I, to watch it, because I'd be doing everyone a disservice if I watched that, because they're persuasive guys and you get your thinking swayed. So I didn't want to do that. It's a very good show, but gee, I was thinking Sportsbet used to have the Trash Talk podcast with Felix von Hoff, Peter Hooley. I don't believe they do it anymore, but it was a good show. And gee, I just thought of an idea watching Overtime that I'd love to see. And I've always said about NBL Overtime, it's a good show. It's the contents page of the NBL. If you've been watching the NBL for 10 years, you can watch that show. If you've been watching the NBL for 10 minutes, you can watch that show. It's the six major topics, half an hour, bang, done. And the production is, you know, it's a nice looking show. The set is nice. The graphics are nice. But one thing I'd love to do is bring back that Trash Talk, which is on KO. Bring that back, but have someone from each state doing it and talking about their team. So you'd have someone from Perth, someone from South Australia, someone from Queensland. Well, you guys know the states, but I think that'd be really nice. And you can get some real trash going, and you'd have, but they've got to reach out to the right talent. And people probably think I have a hard on, but Josh Garlop over on the West Coast, I mean, he's got TikToks that have been viewed 12 million times. There's only 25 million people in Australia. I mean, the guy's got gravity. He's got a young crowd behind him. He does his own podcast. You could blend the two and just get a bit more exposure for things. Body Nodge in South Australia. Why this guy's not leaned on, I don't understand it. He does a lot of media now. He's got 5,000 followers on Twitter, but most of them would engage with him deeply. So, and you know, you could have Rucker up in Queensland and Brad Rose, and I'll throw my hat in the ring. I could do New South Wales. Hated by both teams, but you know, it could be fun. And then Victoria, you've got a choice of about 5,000 basketball people to choose from. It'd be a dogfight, but you could get someone. And then Tasmania, bring in someone from there as well. So KO and Sportsbet, if you're listening and you want to steal my idea, you can try. It's a patent pending idea. I think that'd be fun. I think that'd be really good. And then you get all that social media energy of all six of your presenters pushing it. Anyway, I've gotten off topic. Firstly, foremostly, patron. And I want to say a thank you individually to every patron here and now. So to Kyle, Danica, Connor, Ryan, Hayden, Andrew, Tanya, Jackson, Adam, David, Sydney, Peter, Woody, Nicholas, Dylan, Matthew, Nostia, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Tranquilla, Nick, Michael, David, Callum, Jono, Ben, Nick, and Ryan, thank you very much for supporting the show. We do really appreciate it. And to all of you there, I'd urge you to keep an eye on the Patreon page. There's going to be something going up probably in the next couple of days that if you're able to get in on it, you're really going to enjoy it. But that's to be posted. And new patrons as well, open to you. A select few of you anyway, but I think a lot of you will enjoy it. But that's for that. Let's talk about this round. Round 14 it was. I'll say this, Andrew, he tried to warn you. We tried to warn you. Some of these games were really stinky. And Here's some of the three-point shooting. Actually, I'll just say this. Over the weekend, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven of the competitors, of the teams that played this round, shot 40 of 197 from the outside, 20%. A lot of New Zealand. New Zealand count for a great deal of this. I think they shot 5 of 33 and 5 of 23. I believe in the game against Tasman, New Zealand, it was one team shot 3 of 27. I want to say the Jack Jumpers, the other team 5 of 30. I mean, that was a mess, that game. That was dreadful. But half of the league round's competitors shot 20%. Yeah, New Zealand this round, 10 of 56, 18% over the weekend, over two games. I mean, that is, I don't think I've seen anything worse. And this harps back to a tweet out there by Andrew B. Price of SpatialJam.com. If you're really interested in your stats, do go and follow him and commit to the website or donate to the website, subscribe. Three-point shooting is down. Has been since round one. You give guys a pass. You think maybe it's COVID, something's different. But this has persisted all year now, all season. I haven't got a great explanation for it other than guys aren't hitting shots. And could be COVID, certainly. Maybe there's not the practice time. Maybe there's not the time on court. Maybe the warm-ups have changed. I don't know. But some of these games were really difficult to watch, terribly unattractive, and a bad advertisement for someone who's flicking channels. So I know it sounds really daft or too easy to say, but hit shots, because when you don't, the game looks atrocious, which it was. Moving on, more pleasant news. Let's talk about this Southeast Melbourne Illawarra game. This was really the only game of consequence from the round. We had a lot of Cairns, we had a lot of New Zealand, we had a lot of Adelaide teams that are go-nowhere teams this season, unfortunately. But this particular one, I've got a couple of points. I'll fly through this. The lack of consistency on offense from Southeast Melbourne is a huge worry for me, and I'm sure for them if they're being honest with themselves. They just don't hit shots. And we're over half the season now, and this is persisting. This is every game. They were 8 of 35, 22% from the outside. And this is a team that traditionally got up down the floor. Mitchell likes to be pretty free-flowing. Guys have a lot of license, perhaps too much. We'll talk about that. But Ryan Brokoff, 2 of 12 from the outside, still had quite a good game. But you know, if he'd just shot to 30, 40%, they would have won this one. And then their season looks totally different. Right now, they're in the dog days, but we'll talk about that some more. Creek is doing this. Creek always starts well, fades from the contests, has a few punches, pardon the pun, a few hits of scoring energy late or in patches, and then it's gone. And you know, it always looks like putting up a good tally and then ends up with 22 or 25. Never can just seemingly keep pressure on defenses, or maybe they change up their defense. I don't know, but he seems to take the foot off the pedal, not by choice, kind of just happens to him. Just he's sort of that player at this point. And this is a thing with Southeast Melbourne where they just kind of are what they are at this point. You know, you can sit around waiting for Brokoff to be that guy and waiting for their closing five to be cemented, and it just doesn't look like it's going to happen now. I've had 2.5 years of this experiment. We're halfway through, more than halfway through this season, and at some point you go, no, they are what they are. And as a result, when we talk about their final four chances, that's what I'm going off. I mean, yeah, Creek finished with 18, should have had 25 plus. Liafa, again, this has become a common theme with them. 32 minutes, 4 of 14, was not gun-shy in the late going at all, and we've seen that a couple of times. Raithan Mays and Cleveland for Illawarra were undeniable athletically in the last quarter, both primarily on defense. Big turnover steal that resulted in a layup, a couple of other things, but they were. This is a team in Illawarra that was down 10 points with 12 minutes left. If they lost this game, they were dropping out of, they had a hard time getting into the four, if at all. And those two guys saved this squad. Harvey did nothing. Harvey looked really bad, only had the 1 point, a free throw late. You know, the question is, does he come off the bench? The other question is, do you just sort of bench him in favor of these two who looked fantastic in tandem? And Mays looked good going at the basket. Big question for the Hawks, not just this season, but going forward, because as Jackson McDonald pointed out to me on Twitter, you know, Harvey, they signed, I think, either a 2 or 3 year deal. Toughy. Joe Chi looks unplayable at this point. I just don't see how he fits into their defense at all. I don't get it. I didn't get it from the start of the year. We're getting the, who was that guy from New Zealand? Colton Iverson. We're getting the Colton Iverson 2.0 experience, and I don't think they're enjoying it much. This is a guy that Brian Goorjian said was going to revolutionize the game. I think a lot of people like that quote, put it in their stuff. This is a contender. Now I see them contending for the four at best. Southeast Melbourne's bench, 10 points, 4 of 15. Outscored by Raythan Mays by himself, almost doubled their points. Can't happen. We're going to talk about Southeast Melbourne more, but in this context, and this is the third sort of topic on our list here, who's not making it to the finals? I think we can all agree it's Perth and Melbourne are making it. I don't want to hear comments about Perth. I think their offense is too good. They haven't played at home a lot and they're set to. So they'll sweep teams and actually come into a nice round of form as they come into the finals. They're not missing it. They have Bryce Cotton and to a lesser extent they have Vic Law. Newsflash, they're going to make it. Even if they don't shore up the backboard and defense like Scott Morrison was talking about. Segue off into that. Scott Morrison slagging off people on Twitter. I quite liked it because normally when coaches go at someone, it's someone in the press or who works for a paper. But, you know, the truth of it is now is that more people are reading Twitter and more influential people are using Twitter than they are, say, the West Australian. And that's no offense to Craig O'Donoghue, who had the nice quote and wrote the story. I actually enjoy his writing very much. But, you know, there's a lot more people on Twitter and, you know, high-powered people. And more money is made on Twitter than a newspaper in these times. So the idea that, Scott Morrison shouldn't go at people on Twitter, I actually kind of disagree. Twitter is the modern bar stool and where sports are discussed. Papers are, I don't know what people use paper for. I thought people only used it to put in bird cages these days, but apparently some people read it still, so that's crazy. Going back to the finals, who's going to make it? Sydney, Illawarra, or Phoenix? Because those Melbourne and Perth are obviously a lock. I'm going to go through each team, give you the case for, and give you the case against. So let's start with Illawarra. The case for Illawarra making it. Their rotations are better. They don't play great defense, but they can score. They've got Brian Goorjian as their coach, who seemingly always makes it. Isaac White's come on, and he's a good player, and he's fearless. And he just, when they start playing him more, you just know that you're going to get something off your bench. Isaac White, for better or worse, whether it's points or energy, he's going to do one of the two, and he's going to give you something off the bench in every game. And a lot of NBL teams don't have that luxury. Southeast Melbourne, principally being one of those teams. The case against Illawarra, and this is simple. Their best player is Tyler Harvey, and their best player in Tyler Harvey is in a major slump. As I said, 1.0 of 8 from the field, and that's not, yeah, he's closer to getting those sorts of numbers than he was the year before, where he was getting, you know, 20 points a game. I don't know what's up with Tyler Harvey. There's plenty of opportunity for him on that team. Very interesting. I watch him and I still can't figure it out. I liked this guy last year. I still like him, but the numbers and the production's not there. If you can figure it out, you let me know. Let's go with Sydney. Here's the case for the Sydney Kings making the finals. Adams, Martin, and Cooks are all either NBA first team or NBL second team. Jarrell Martin, I think, has lost out to Cooks, JLA, Vic Law, maybe. But you know, he's certainly in that second team conversation, depending on how you break down the position. But they've got three of the best 10 guys in the NBL. That should be enough to get you to the four. You would think that's the case for. They're one of the few teams with that level of talent. I think Perth have that level of talent with Cotton and Law, Norton, and a few other pieces. No one else has that kind of talent. Maybe not even Melbourne have that concentrated a talent. JLA's having a great season, but he's not Jalen Adams. He doesn't have that ability, pure talent on paper. So they're a very talented team. The case against Sydney, people might call me whatever, but Chase Buford to me is a little bit zany. Clueless would be too strong a word, but I don't trust his experience. I don't trust his, certainly his experience of this league. You know, the rotations and the players are still very much give it to our best player, get out of the way. Nothing wrong with that, but I'm just not sold on Chase Buford. And history would say that first-year coaches don't really win the whole thing. Second thing, they don't play defense, nor do they get up for bad teams. I mean, they gave up 88 points to Cairns this round. 88 to Cairns. That's the Taipans, you know, the team that's perennially been terrible. And I think they were without DeJean McCall. Not a good look. And then the other thing is, they've only played six games away, and that's the least of these three teams vying for the playoffs, Sydney, Illawarra, Phoenix. We were talking about them before. Let's go South East Melbourne. This is the case for South East Melbourne. Most importantly, they have a game in hand over Sydney and Illawarra. They're one up in the win column. I think they're tied with the Hawks, but they've played one game less. Can't really recall, but they've got a game in hand. Creaky's in MVP form. He looks fantastic. Athletically, his endurance and strength is better than... He's like Cooks, but stronger and with more of an outside game. He looks fantastic. Yeah, he would be very hard pressed to be left off NBL first team, even at the expense of Cooks, who's been really good numbers, but I feel like Creek is super impactful. Ashley is Joe Chi insurance. Fouls a lot, but that is the insurance. When Joe Chi's not working out, in comes Ashley. Pretty good insurance. Then the other thing as well is this is a sneaky team that they could shore things up with a third import, if I'm not mistaken. They've got Munford. Who's their other import? Ashley. They've got a spot for a third. This is a team that, despite really low attendances, has kind of been willing to spend a little bit, but that's where it comes down to how much have they played Creek? How much have they played Brokoff? Because they've got a third import spot. They're choosing not to use it. Typically, the only reason a team doesn't use a third import spot is because they can't afford to, because they've overspent on their locals. And I think that may be the case here, where they've put a lot in Brokoff. But I think we can all see, I mean, there's rumours of Casper Ware to Adelaide by a lot of people. That's been rumoured out there and confirmed rumour. I mean, Casper Ware would be a nice fit with the South East Melbourne team in a strange way. You could have, you know, then you'd know there's our closing point guard. Casper Ware with either Munford, Creek, Ashley, and then whoever else, Liafa, if you want to go that way, whatever you want to do. So, sneaky team that does have an import spot, I perceive. But here's the case against South East Melbourne. I think it's in the Twilight Zone, either movie or TV show, where the guy looks, he's flying in an airplane, and he looks out the wing, he looks out onto the window, and only he can see the thing, and he's like, there's someone on the wing. The problem with this South East Melbourne team is there's passengers on the wing. There's no one on the wing that wants to score or can score. Tarangi, Glidden, these guys just aren't, you would have thought they'd be big rotational players and they're just not doing anything. For case in point against Illawarra, 18 points, 7 of 19 in 50 minutes. Not getting the shots up, not making them when they do. Brutal. And then Mitchell, horses for courses. When is it Munford? When is it Liafa? When is it Adnam? That's a really difficult conversation to have. Everyone else has kind of cemented what they're doing, especially late in games. South East Melbourne is still answering that question. And it's that old adage about war. The winning team of a war is going to be the soldiers who are asking the least amount of questions. And of the three teams, South East Melbourne are asking the most questions, which is not good. And the team that I think is asking the least is Illawarra. It's either going to be Phoenix or Sydney to miss out. And here's the thing. What have I got written down here later on? South East Melbourne's run is really, really tough coming up. I think they've got Melbourne twice and Perth. Whereas the others have got a little bit of a break in between where they play some easy beats. Not so. Ah, here it is here. Upcoming schedule for South East Melbourne. Melbourne United at Illawarra and then Sydney at home. They have to win all three of those. And they're not going to. I don't think they're going to win the first two. I don't think they're going to beat Melbourne or Illawarra in Illawarra. Tense days for South East Melbourne. Let's move on. Just want to look at attendances. We haven't done this in a long time. What's funny is I put out something on the ESPN socials over the weekend and it was getting a fair bit of traction. It was something about the NBA, admittingly, but I was like, oh, this thing's getting all kinds of replies. The tweets, I thought they were going to be about the content, like, oh yeah, this play was great. Thank you for putting this up. We really appreciate all the hard work you're up to. Didn't quite happen that way. So the tweet went up on March 6th, got 18 responses, and they read like this. The eight people in the country that want to watch the NBL are stoked, but put the UFC back on. Add another ESPN channel if you're going to cut off the UFC. What the F happened to the UFC? Put the UFC back on. Put the fights back on. Four exclamation marks. Put the UFC prelims back on. Put the game back on, bruh. B-R-U-H. Any chance of you playing the effing NBA you have programmed and have missed the entire first quarter of for college speeches? What the F-U-C-K? So that just made me laugh. Twitter's socials are tough, you know, when you make a mistake. But looking at some of these attendances, 3,000 people were at that game between Southeast Melbourne and Illawarra in John Cain Arena, or was it their smaller arena? I can't recall, but 3,000. 3,000 people, that's not a lot at all. That's how many people would go to Enmore Theatre to see some saxophone player, you know, and he's just one guy standing on stage taking all the money. 3,000 people at a game where 10 players on the home team are being paid, and entertainment staff and radio, TV and signage and da-da-da. I was like, whew, dear me, that must be difficult. Adelaide, when they hosted Southeast Melbourne, 4,700 went to that game. Not a bad turnout for Adelaide. And what's funny is after that horrible loss, 600 people in Adelaide went, no, not going to bother. And 600 people didn't go to the next game when Perth came to town, only 4,100. You would think that that's the smarter move. And then this is the one that's more disappointing. Melbourne, when they welcomed Brisbane, which I admit was not a huge matchup and an easy beat and not worth people's time, no offense to Brisbane, they did lose handedly, but 6,000 were at that game. Even a pretty average game in Perth, you're getting 10 plus. I think the goal should be that 8,000 range. What was good was the Indigenous round really played well in Sydney, 9,000. So congratulations to the Kings on that one. That was a good turnout. And I don't know, they just must have recruited. I think they would have given away plenty of comp tickets, you know, to celebrate the round, and that's fair enough. But just to get 9,000 in the stadium, regardless, in what's been really bad weather in Sydney, it's been pretty good. So some numbers up, some numbers down. Just interesting to see where NBL marketing's at and its impression in sports fans. Let's move on. I want to give you this one. Smart people out there, hear this and answer in your own time, in your own head, or even on socials if you want to get at me, at NBL Pocket Pod. Whose stat line is this? 13 minutes, 0 points, 0 field goal attempts, 3 turnovers, negative 10 in the plus minus. Who am I? The answer? Michael Frazier of the Perth Wildcats. The Wildcats were out offensively rebounded 5-22. Adelaide didn't have Bairstow, but for the same token, Perth were without Hodgson. Bad look. When are Perth going to move on from Frazier? This is very interesting. Bendat would have pulled the pin very unceremoniously. He's obviously not around to do it anymore. And it looks like Scott Morrison's too nice to do it. And it's not a matter of, you know, shit can this guy, sack his ass and kick him out the door. That's not what I'm saying. It's remove the emotion. Look at the production. Look at the fit. Look at what you're deficient in. Right, the NBA has a trade window, not to compare the NBL to the NBA, but the NBA has a trade window where, okay, we've got the deadline, oh, we're looking bad at this position or this particular stat, who can we get to help with that? And they either sign a guy or they trade a player or whatever. That you have to use what's at your disposal to get better. And the Wildcats have the money to get better. And you can't trade a local, you can't trade anyone. You can't really cut a lot of the locals, they're a protected species. Your imports are where you've got the most flexibility. It costs you some money, but in this particular instance, I just think the team, there is a clear deficiency defensively and on the rebounds. You have options to secure that up by moving on Frazier, or at least trying to, and you're getting to the point now where you're getting very pointy-ended of this season. If you're going to do it and acclimate someone, if you do, it's now. And the thing is, the Wildcats are savage. They'll call management, they'll call your eyes out. If you're not working out, they'll cut you. Anyway, Dario Hunt's available on Twitter if you want to go and talk to him about it. They'll cut you if they're not happy. And they'll do it unceremoniously if they have to, because they've got a reputation. They've got a streak going. And they want to win. And right now, I don't know if it's Scott Morrison or otherwise, but I think there's that scene in Terminator 2 when Arnold Schwarzenegger is the Terminator, is about to cut his skin off his hand and show his claw. And Edward Furlong says to the Miles Dyson's kid, he's like, hey, come to my room. Oh, show me your toys in your room. Let's go. And he ushers him out the room to get it done. I think the very nice Scott Morrison, Canadian, needs to be tapped on the shoulder and just like, hey, come to the clubhouse for a second, and just distracted while they make the cut on Frazier. It's too bad. Moving on. Round 15 preview. There's only two games. If you're coming to this podcast new to the NBL, where you kind of got one foot in, one foot out, should I go out with my time or watch the games? I'll make it easy for you. Thursday night's not a big night for television or going out. Thursday, 10th of March at 7:30 p.m. on the East Coast is a game worth your attention. Melbourne versus Perth from John Cain Arena. That'll be a very good game. Cotton usually goes well. I'm thinking Melbourne will win it. I think they play the better defense. They're at home. And that's all I need to say. I don't think it needs a lot else. They're healthy. Perth, we'll see. So I've got Perth in that one. And then again, a game worth your attention is what I mentioned before. Southeast Melbourne are welcoming Melbourne to John Cain Arena, their mutual home, at Sunday, March 13th at 3 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. 3 p.m. So not as convenient, but that's that should be quite good too. Southeast Melbourne need it badly. I think Melbourne will win this one as well. I think they double up on the weekend. Their defense is just so rock solid. And essentially, they're playing two games at home. So, you know, they have to travel from, you know, their apartment to their bus stop and get to the game. So, there shouldn't be a fatigue in this one. I think they win both and cement themselves at the top of the table based purely off playing defense and throwing the ball to Joe Lualua-Chul, and I think he's going to make a mess of those Southeast Melbourne bigs. I think he's going to eat Joe Chi alive, and then run up the foul count on Ashley, who I like, but that'll be interesting. Maybe Ashley can sway that matchup somewhat, but I don't think so. And then I feel Illy and Dellavedova are just going to pressure the Arfa and Adnam into mistakes when it happens, even Munford, any guard in this league, into trouble. And that's that. And I feel they're going to do the same to Bryce Cotton, just enough to, he'll still get his points, but just enough. And Melbourne are going to double up this coming round. That's my guess. Going to end it on this last topic. Put this out on Twitter. And I was thinking, who is the most tortured franchise in the recent memory of the NBL? And people who discussed me on Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod probably know where I'm going with this. It is undoubtedly the Adelaide 36ers. And Andrew and I did a number of things last week talking about Van Groningen and so on and so forth. But this team, well, first of all, this particular season, NBL 22, there's only one win that currently separates New Zealand, who've moved on imports, had major injuries to McDowell White, Wetzel's missed games recently, and then obviously the horrible schedule inequity that New Zealand have had. Adelaide haven't really had any of that. And then one win separates these two teams. Inexcusable. And people probably are upset with me for not making enough concession about Humphreys, but I think, honestly, the writing was on the wall with him. You knew he wasn't going to play the whole season, if at all half of it. Looking at how they're the most tortured franchise in recent memory, their last winning season was NBL 19, and calling that a winning season is a bit of a stretch because they were 50-50, 14-14. That was that... was Randall there? No, it was Jacob Wiley and a few others. Can't really remember now. So they haven't had a winning season since then. That was NBL 19, so NBL 20, 21, and now this season looks like the worst of the three. Since losing Creek and making that grand final, they've gone 39 wins, 53 losses. And this season, they are 5-11 and set to hang around that win percentage, 25% of their games or so, or 30% of their games, pardon me. So at the minute, their win tally is 44 wins, 64 losses. And as Andrew and I have said on previous episodes, this is Adelaide. This is a big basketball town. Perth comes first, Melbourne close behind, and then Adelaide, and then Sydney, and then probably Brisbane, a few others. Just as far as standing within the league, profitability, population, by how much is, you know, how, if you're buying a franchise, how profitable and what your expectations of a franchise entering that city. I would put Adelaide really quite high on the NBL list. And the team's been dreadful. And then that, and this is the thing, they are the only team to neither qualify for finals or have a winning record in that span. While never winning a wooden spoon, this is the worst NBL franchise of the last 4 years. And the worst part is I don't think the future looks bright. So, and when I say qualify for the finals or having a winning record in that span, New Zealand, you might recall, did not qualify for the finals but had that winning season with Hobson but didn't make it on percentage. They were right there with Brisbane. But you look at it, yeah, Brisbane have kind of had losing seasons but qualified for the finals in that time. Every other team, Cairns had wooden spoon seasons but has gone into the finals the year after. So questions really need to be asked of the owner, Grant Kelly, because he's the conduit of the fan. He's the one guy, you can fire the coach, you can get rid of players, not sign them, re-sign them, whatever. But Grant Kelly's the one guy who hangs around, conduit for the fans. And he's really the only holdover in that time, other than Daniel Johnson. GMs have come and gone, players have come and gone. So it's not a good look. And here's the other problem when I say the future's not bright. Two of their three marquee Australian players are either incapable of playing a full season in Isaac Humphries or soon to be over 34 in Daniel Johnson. And then Mitch McCarron, who I quite like. I think a lot of people quite like. I will say this, good news, light at the end of the tunnel, not just criticism, let's do critique. The NBL has a short memory. Cairns were at the bottom of the table and then went into the semi-final and were a win or two away from making it to a grand final and almost beat off Perth, who were amazing. There's talk of Casper Ware signing with the 36ers, talked about it before. I like Casper Ware, he's a winner, but is he going to help this team get to the finals this year? I don't think that's actually physically possible or mathematically possible. And then does that give up on the McCarron as a point guard experiment, which seemed to go quite well in Melbourne when they won the championship? There's been a lot of talk about McCarron, whether people like him on socials, Twitter. I think the problem with this team isn't McCarron at point guard. As I said, he's the point guard on a championship team, or has been in the past. The problem is, we've said it before, but I will repeat it. Pushing your chips in with Humphries just hasn't got a track record that was believable. Sorry to Isaac and his management. And then a lack of import production. And think about this. I mean, Adelaide's lack of good play should not come as a surprise to anyone. All you had to do was look at their import stocks. And not that Hannes and Withers are necessarily bad players, but look at who they're going up against. I mean, Sydney at the start of the year had Jalen Adams, fresh off NBA, young player, really exciting, always looked pretty good. Jarrell Martin, who played the year before, knew the NBL, looked like a bit of a player, got hurt, but had pedigree, you could tell. And then they had RJ Hunter, who'd been around the NBA for quite some time, was at a good age bracket, it was late 20s, got hurt. Then they replaced him with Clark, who's got an NBA resume. You know, that's who Sydney's going out and get. And apparently they're still under the salary cap. So that's what. And then you've got to Perth, Bryce Cotton, $600,000 spend plus Vic Law, reputation last season. When you just bank it up, I mean, Adelaide just on paper, and no offense to Hannes and Withers, but they didn't have better imports than Perth. They didn't have better imports than Sydney. They didn't have better imports than Cairns, arguably, with Machado and Court and Zimmerman. Melbourne have got what imports? McGarter? No, maybe they're a bit different. They spent in other ways, but you could see this coming. This shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone. So, you know, you get what you pay for. And this Adelaide team put in a certain amount of money. And it just hasn't worked out. I wish that the NBL and teams would treat their fans with the intellectual credit that they deserve and release some sort of here's what teams are paying and you know, what's going on. Here are the credentials of the league so that you could have an intellectual conversation about this. But I think if you looked at the spend, Adelaide are right where they should be, down the bottom, because I think they'd be one of the cheaper teams. Prove me wrong. You know, if Adelaide people got upset, and I mean Adelaide management, I tell you what, open your books. I can keep a secret. They're not going to do that. That's all I have for you this week. Pretty lackluster episode without Andrew, but them the breaks. Again, review the show on Apple or Spotify if you would. Patreon, if you really like the show. We do really appreciate that contribution. It really helps keep the lights on and more than anything, keep the fire burning. You know, you can throw this NBL content, you kind of throw it out there and it goes into a void. And unless you've got your little inner circle of cheerleaders, it doesn't really go anywhere. So we do appreciate that very much. What have I done here? Patreon, Booktopia, use the link. If you're going to buy a book, do it there. Why not? We'd appreciate it. And socials at NBL Pocket Pod. If you want to get in touch with me on Twitter, that's the one I use the most. But I think I have Facebook and Instagram. You can follow me on there. The likelihood of me interacting with you is very, very slim. In fact, I'm not going to. But Twitter, do get in touch with me. Good luck to everyone. I hope you enjoy the round this week. And when Andrew returns, we'll do a better episode next week. That is a promise. We're like cats here. We always land on our feet. See you next time.